You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Veronica Rickard.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up on our summer music series, Setlist, will feature Madison singer-songwriter Anna Vogelzang.
First, it's time for our weekly review of state news, the Wisconsin News Roundup.
The state's Secretary of Transportation announced there will be no new transportation-related fees or tax hikes coming up in the next couple years. We talk about what that means for the state transportation budget.
Also this week, the Hmong community in Wausau turned out for a protest march, and open records show the governor's office pushed for changes to the Wisconsin IDEA.
Robert Mentzer joins us now. He's a storytelling editor for USA Today Network Wisconsin, and he's based in Wausau. Rob, welcome back.
Hey, thanks for having me back.
Well, let's first talk about road funding. We hear from the state's Department of Transportation Secretary and Governor Walker backed this up subsequently. No new fees, no new taxes related to roads and transportation in the next couple of years. So what does that mean for road funding in the state?
Well, hard to say exactly. It's worth saying this has been Governor Walker's position forever, and was his position into the last budget. What happened then was they still wanted to expand a bunch of highways and deal with the roads, and so the budget proposal in 2015 was to borrow a bunch of money just through bonding, take on billions of dollars in these new projects. So that ended up generating a big political firestorm and getting cut from the budget. And now the current transportation secretary's position, as articulated to the Wisconsin State Journal this week, is still the hard line on sort of user fees or gas tax hikes. And what that means for the roads, in short, is they say they're going to focus on maintaining kind of like major high traffic roads, and they're going to keep fixing bridges, which is nice, but it still leaves out a whole bunch of stuff. Scheduled construction projects will continue to be pushed back, and of course there is maintenance of those not so major roads that concerns a lot of Wisconsinites.
Right, and there are specific roads in mind. The state has a schedule of either new construction or maintenance and a schedule for when these things were supposed to happen, and a lot of that's going to be pushed back, it sounds like, if the status quo holds into the actual budget.
Right. And it's sort of like, if you read closely, I wonder if there's a little bit of like reverse psychology, or maybe the Department of Transportation Secretary Mark Gottlieb is being a little bit passive aggressive or something, because the way he's quoted, he says that the department's not going to request any new funds. But if lawmakers decide they want to give his department some more money for roads, well, the legislatures can do that. So it's a bit hard to know how it's going to come down, but it's probably best understood as sort of an opening bid that the governor is not softening his stance on gas tax indexing or user fees or, God forbid, toll roads or any of the other policies that are discussed when we talk about road funding.
You wrote a piece about the city of Marshfield kind of taking road funding into its own hands. What's the story there?
Yeah, so this is something that I would not be at all surprised if we see more from local municipalities. Marshfield is taking this to referendum in August. Voters are going to decide whether they'll pay 11% local tax hike on their property taxes, about $100 on a $100,000 home per year, that it would be targeted directly at fixing roads. And the city says that they're in this position because state aid has been flat for a decade or more. The roads keep deteriorating, and they need these improvements. They also say that it'll fund fixes that will help bicyclists and pedestrians. And so it's a lot to ask, and it's unusual for a city to take a referendum for this type of question. But this is sort of where a lot of local governments are right now.
Talking to Rob Mentzer from USA Today Network Wisconsin in our weekly roundup of some of the top stories in Wisconsin news. Also this week, Rob, and again in your area, a protest in Wausau calling for changes in the state's justice system. Who is marching and why?
Sure. So this was a big story here in Wausau. It was called a Peace March, and I think a big story well beyond Wausau. This all stems from an incident. There was a fight between two groups of teenage boys in February 2015 in Wausau, and it ended with the death of a 13-year-old boy named Isaiah Powell, who was fatally stabbed by a 15-year-old boy named Dylan Yang. Dylan Yang was charged as an adult, was tried in adult court, and was convicted as an adult. He'll be sentenced in July, and he faces up to 60 years in prison if the maximum, that is the maximum of the sentence, for something he did when he was 15 years old. So the march was largely showing solidarity for Dylan Yang. Dylan Yang is Hmong, and there were a lot of people from the Hmong community. There were activists who came from far away, from out of town, from California. There were buses that came from the Twin Cities, and there were somewhere between 500 and 1,000 marchers calling attention to bullying, they say, that Dylan Yang suffered, to the larger question of juveniles in the justice system, which as we've seen is a legitimate, a big issue in Wisconsin.
Here's Marathon County Administrator Brad Karger speaking at that rally.
When I was 15 years old, my judgment wasn't particularly good. The circumstances were right. If I was in a bullying situation, who knows what I could have done? And what's the point of being a community leader if you don't use it for something?
So not just the Hmong community there, some other local leaders speaking up on this issue.
Certainly not. Absolutely not. Local leaders and there's a sort of a basic argument there that if somebody is not an adult, why are they tried as an adult? My colleague Allison Durr did a report last year ended up winning a state award for legal reporting, but what she did was she traced all the steps that a case must go through, that the defense must prove in order to get somebody who's charged as a juvenile or charged as an adult who is a juvenile to get that case kicked back into the juvenile justice system, and it is a labyrinth. The conclusion that you reach is that it seems like it's an impossible thing to happen, that it can't happen, and so in Dylan Yang's case, we've talked about the Slender Man stabbing case, which involved two young teen girls. We have these. What are young kids that are facing sort of adult time? And that is a broader issue.
I want to spend just a few moments, Rob, on this judge's order to the governor's office to release emails on the Wisconsin IDEA. Briefly, what did we see in these documents?
Yeah, so what we saw was the plan to change the text of the Wisconsin IDEA, the sort of historical basis of the University of Wisconsin system. The plan to change that came directly from the governor's office, and the governor directly staff directly pushed back against University of Wisconsin's attempts to stop that from being changed. This is not really new news, but this was the result of a long records fight that the administration claimed, the Walker administration claimed, that these amounted to deliberations and not actually part of the legislative process. And the judge said, no, those are open records. So we finally got a look at those emails.
All right, Rob, thanks again for joining us.
Hey, thanks.
That's news editor Robert Mentzer with USA Today Network Wisconsin. He was with us, as he is every Friday, to help us break down the biggest headlines from around the state in our Wisconsin News Roundup.